to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Begin reading with verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a certain virgin, espoused or engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. The angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The word know is not the word, I've never met a man, I've never talked to a man, I've been isolated. That's not the word that's used, but it's the word that is used for the marriage relationship, the act of marriage. It is the normal act which brings about conception. She said, I have never known a man in that kind of a personal, physical relationship. The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Many, many, many people know quite a bit or a lot about Mary, the mother of Jesus. Unfortunately, what most people know about Mary is simply not true. And we will look at some of that. There's a lot of mistaken ideas about Mary. And these mistaken ideas will send countless millions of people to hell. Their misunderstanding of Mary, the mother of Jesus, they're putting their faith in Mary, the mother of Jesus, will cause them to die lost without Christ, and spend eternity, as long as eternity is, spend eternity in a place that was originally prepared for the devil and his angels. I want to look, first of all, at Mary as an individual. Some things that I found interesting. I hope you do as well. Let me throw this out. There has never, ever, ever, never, never, ever been another case or another example like Mary. She was the only person from the creation of the universe right down to the end of this earth. She is the only person that has ever borne a child that was conceived by a virgin. And there never will be another lady like her. She was one of a kind. There never has and never will be another virgin to conceive and bring forth a child. But in looking at her, and I actually had her ready last week, but in looking at her, I began thinking, why Mary? Of all the thousands and hundreds of thousands of women on the face of the earth, why did God choose Mary to be the mother of Jesus Christ? She was a sinner, just like everyone else. She was born, in fact, we get her pedigree. She was born of a man and a woman, and born with a sinful nature, just like everyone else on the face of the earth was. So she was not chosen because she was better than anyone. She wasn't chosen because she was more spiritual than anyone. She was not chosen because she was holy and righteous. In fact, I put down that instead of being chosen because she was holy and righteous, she was made holy and righteous because she was chosen. Think about that for a couple of seconds. You know why you and I are holy? If we are. We are holy because God chose to make us holy. We are holy because God looked down in grace before the foundation of the world, not because of anything that He saw good in me, but He looked down and said, I'm going to save Wilbert Ellis on August the 10th, I believe it was, in 1958. I'm going to save him, and I'm going to make him holy. Same thing with Mary. He didn't choose her because she was holy. He made her holy because He chose her. And that's the same with you and I tonight. Any good that there is about you and me is because God made us good. I've told you many times, I was raised in a Christian home. I was in church from the time I was 2 weeks all the way up to the present day. I was there. Our family was there. But that did not buy me one iota in salvation. Being raised in a Christian home, God looked down and saw a sinner. And in God's grace and in God's mercy, He chose to save that sinner and make me holy. So too with Mary. Now, there is a denomination that has exalted Mary so high that she is virtually perfect. She was a sinner. She was a sinner, born a sinner, chosen a sinful life. She chose to sin, and God saved her. God chose her because of His grace and His mercy. Sometimes, I think many of us get to thinking, wow, God chose me because I was so talented. God chose me because I was so smart. God chose me because I was raised in a Christian home. God doesn't choose us because of what we are, but He chooses us because of what He can make us to be. So any talent that you have, some of you have a lot of talent, God didn't give you that because you were deserving. Actually, God gave it to you by grace, but He gave it to you, any talent and every talent that you and I may have, God gave it to us for the edification of His church, for the glory of Him in and through His church. But that's a whole another sermon. Notice in verse 28, she was submissive. The angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. Who among us would not be troubled if an angel suddenly appeared in our room and said, "I'm going to do something so miraculous. I'm going to do something so marvelous that nobody is going to believe it"? I think any of us would be troubled. But notice, as we come on down, the angel said that in verse 31, "Thou shalt conceive and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Mary, like most of us, began to ask, "How are you going to do this, Lord? How are you going to bring this about?" She understood the science of reproduction. She understood the mechanics of marriage, and she knew enough to know that it took a husband and a wife to produce a child. And now, "God, you're telling me something else. How are you going to do this?" Have you ever asked God how? "Lord, I don't see how this is going to work. I don't see how this is going to be possible. Lord, this defies science. This defies nature. This defies every experience. Lord, I would like to know," in verse 34, "how are you going to accomplish this?" Seeing that I have never been intimate with a man, do you ever want to know how God is going to do something? I could give personal examples. I could give examples of our church. You would be the, well, you might, but definitely you, that remembered the old building up right where Fifth Third sits, right up here, where our old building used to be. The annex was in such bad shape that the roof on the outside, the roof had a big slump in it where the wood had rotted out and the beams had rotted out. Inside of the annex, the ceiling was about ready to fall in. There were places where the floor, you could step through and go straight down to the ground. And we needed a building, big time. And one of the first questions that come up is, how can we afford it? How? You remember those? How are we ever going to afford a new building? We were running 10, maybe 15 or so on Sunday morning. Our offerings were very low. Lord, I want to know how you're going to do this. And the trustees we had back then, we thought, we analyzed, we tried to figure it out. We applied for a loan, and they laughed at us and said, there's no way we're going to give you a loan. Your offerings are not big enough to even pay your bills, let alone pay a building payment. And it's like, praying, Lord, we need, if this building falls down, which it was ready any Sunday to just fall in, we're going to be in trouble. But Lord, I don't see how on earth you're ever going to give us a building when we are only running 10, 12, 15. Well, God did it. We have this building today. We were originally planning a metal siding on the outside. We voted to change it to brick. And so we had enough money to build it, but not with brick. And so we prayed, and Lord, and I would love to spend the next 20 minutes telling you how God did it. But we all were asking, how? How can we build a building when we can't even cover our utilities and our basic expenses? And so Mary said, Lord, how? How are you going to do this? And the angel, in essence, said, in verse 35, the Holy Spirit is going to do it. Don't worry about the details. Don't worry about how God is going to work, because with God, nothing shall be impossible. I'm my basic nature, DNA, whatever it is, I like to know how. I like to know how. And sometimes you just come to the place where, Lord, I don't have a clue how. But I know you said it. I believe you, and I'm going to leave the how up to you. Within a few days, I got a phone call. Guy offered us enough money to buy 2.5 acres, enough money to build this building except for the brick. And we built it, and all we borrowed was the money for the brick, and I think a little bit for the parking lot. How? God said, you just leave it up to me. And within a few days, we had enough money to build this and the annex and pay for every bit of it when it was finished, except for the bread. Lord, I don't know how. The Holy Spirit will take care of the how. But then notice with that, in verse 38, she submitted. Lord, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. I don't know how you're going to do it, Lord, but I surrender. Be it unto me according to thy word. I'm submissive. I surrender. I'm not going to worry about how. I'm simply going to surrender. Lord, I'm yours. You take me. You do what pleases you. And I will trust you from start to finish. Then an interesting thing takes place in verse 39. The angel told her that Elizabeth was also with child, who was a relative. So she goes to see Elizabeth. And when she gets there, she entered in verse 40 the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the baby in her womb, and leaped, and Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit and began to speak. One of the things that Elizabeth said is in verse 42. See if you recognize this verse. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Anybody know where that has become very famous today? 1, 2. How many of you have somebody you know that is Catholic? Almost every one of us. This is their ritual. They have what's called a rosary, which is made up of a bunch of beads. Now, they have each bead has something a little different meaning. But one of the things they say over and over, years ago, back, I think we were in Indiana at that time, there was a Catholic radio station or a radio program. And every once in a while, I would listen. And it was, blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Holy Mother Mary of God, and they would repeat over and over and over and over, saying, blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. And they just repeat it over and over and over and over. Now I want you to notice in verse 44, verse 46. I wrote down the wrong verse. In verse 46, Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. Mary, you're the mother of God. Or so we're told. No, my soul does not brag on me. My soul does not, exclaim, worship me, bow down to me, pray to me. Mary herself said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. And that should be what every one of us do and say. However God may use me, however God may bless me and you, however God may move you and put you in certain places, your job, no matter where it is, no matter what talents you have, no matter what skills you have, no matter what abilities you have, your soul is to magnify and glorify God. I've told you, we had a lady in Texas, member of a church that we fellowshiped with. This lady could sing like nobody I've ever heard. She had a beautiful voice. And she sang with a little country twang to it, so that made it even better for me. Beautiful voice. Until one day she found out she could actually get paid for singing. People would actually pay her money to sing. The only problem was the people that paid the best money were all foreigners. As a result, she got involved with some of the men. Her husband left her. She was excluded. Her life went down the tubes and in a rocket, because she forgot one key thing. God is going to bless me with a child. My soul doth magnify the Lord. God is going to make a miracle. My soul is to glorify the Lord. As long as she sang for the glory of God, God used her in mighty ways. But the moment she forgot, my talent is to magnify the Lord, and began using her talent for her own personal benefit, her whole life fell apart. See, we forget, blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb. You have been chosen to bring forth the Son of God. No. My soul doth magnify the Lord. Everything else is for the honor and glory of God. I thought about the Catholics, and I'll have more verses in the next page. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. And that's what the Catholics do. Use vain repetitions. Holy Mary, Mother of God, blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Holy Mary, Mother of God, blessed art thou. Vain repetitions. Jesus condemned that in the early part of his ministry. In verse 48, Mary said, I am nothing. He hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid. I'm nothing. And yet God has been pleased to bless me above any woman. Now, question comes up frequently, very frequently, not among us, but among others. Was Mary a virgin until the day she died? Again, going back to the Catholic Church, they bow Virgin Mary. They believe that she remained a virgin even after the birth process, which basic fundamental science 101 tells you that's impossible. But notice, Matthew chapter 1, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. They were engaged, but engagement back then was a lot more serious than it is today. So once you were engaged, you were considered his wife, even though you were not allowed the benefits until after the wedding ceremony, she was still considered his wife. Verse 25, and knew her not. And there's a four-letter word that Catholics overlook. He knew in that intimate physical relationship, he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn. Two words, till, means that he remained pure with her. He did not consummate their marriage until after Jesus Christ was born. And then Jesus was called her firstborn. Firstborn in the Old Testament and even in the New, where it's used, firstborn is always used indicative of more to come. Jesus Christ was not her only child. He was simply the firstborn. Matthew chapter 13, people begin asking about Jesus. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, brothers, same word, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas. So he had at least four brothers. Mark chapter 6, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? So Mark tells us very plainly that he had brothers, and he had four brothers, and sisters is plural. So that means there was at least four brothers and a minimum of two sisters. She did not die a virgin. She conceived. Joseph knew her after the birth of their firstborn. And then they had four boys and two girls. Well, they argue that the word brother can, under certain circumstances, refer to a cousin or close relative. So I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but that when brother is used to refer to a cousin or other close relative, that is the exception to the rule, not the rule. Now, give you an example. everybody under the age of 10 or 12, maybe 15 or 16, especially if I can't remember their name, you know, it's like, hey, son, come here. I love it. I'm at the age now, I had 5 medical appointments last week. And I'm at the age now where, you know, you go in and it's like, sweetheart, how are you doing today? Sweetheart, it's going to be okay. You know, there's a certain thing. Am I their sweetheart? Not in the sense that we think of it. For years, I called our sound man son. I think that's one reason he doesn't like me, because he did not want to be identified with me. But we would go to conferences and people would come up, oh, is that your son? You know, and with my grandkids, you know, hey son, come here. They're not my son in the literal sense. But I think the context, remember, context, and you know what each of those three stand for, the context will tell you this is literal or it's not literal. The context will tell you if it's a son or simply a... Paul called Timothy his son. Titus was his son. They were not physical sons. They were sons in the ministry. They were sons in the things of Christ. But unless the Bible, in the context, tells you that it's different than the basic normal definition, then it means the normal definition. Unless there's something in the context or in the rest of the Bible that tells you this is not a brother or sister, then the rule of interpretation, it is a literal brother or sister. I remember, and I don't know why I thought of this, but in college, one of the other students, I don't know if he made it up or if he read it somewhere, but I like it. If the plain sense makes sense, don't make nonsense out of it. In other words, take it literal unless the context tells you differently. And so he had literal brothers, literal sisters. Do you remember when he hung on the cross? He put the care of his mother into the hands of John because his brothers did not yet believe on him. Why would he even contemplate putting the care of his mother under a distant relative? Whose place would it have been? It would have been his brother. His brothers were responsible. But because they had not yet believed on him, he did not want to put the custody of his mom into his brothers who had not yet been saved. So he gave his mother to John the Apostle to take care of, for him to take care of her. Well, last point. Do we worship and pray to Mary? And there's a lot of verses. I only have just a few. Jesus never treated his mother as God. Remember in the book of John, the first miracle that Jesus ever performed? You know, they went to a wedding and his mother came in and said, "Son, they're out of wine." And Jesus said, "Mom, my time has not yet come." If she was God, he would have said, "Oh, yes, Mother. Yes, Mother. You know, whatever you say, Mother. Yes, ma'am." But instead, he said, "Mom, you've overstepped. It's not my time yet." Now, rather than embarrass his mom, he did go ahead and turn the water into wine, rather than embarrass his mom, but he did not treat her as God. Later on, Jesus is teaching to a great crowd of people, and Mary and his brothers and sisters came and wanted to see Jesus. And Jesus said, in essence, this crowd of people, this is my mother. These are my brothers and sisters. If she was God, Jesus would have dropped everything and gone straight to her and say, "Yes, Mom, what can I do for you, Mom?" You know, and go through all of the other things, but Jesus did not ever treat her as God. In the book of Acts, when the church is gathered together, Mary was present, being part of the church, but she never took part in the leadership of the church. It was James, the pastor, that stood up. Mary was present, but she was nowhere understood to be in charge or in control. Paul cleared this up in Hebrews chapter 4. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." And if you really want to turn over Hebrews 4, verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace." Now, he's just got through telling us that the high priest that we pray to is Jesus Christ. Paul did not say, "Seeing then that we have Holy Mary, Mother of God, let us come boldly to the throne of Mary." No, our high priest is Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 8, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Mary." Only a couple of you caught that. We don't cry, "Abba, Mary." We cry, "Abba, Father." We don't have to go through Mary to get to Jesus Christ. We come boldly to the throne of grace, where Jesus Christ Himself is seated at the right hand of God. And we go and we cry, "Abba." That is a form of dearest love and dearest respect. But it's "Abba, Father." the model prayer. The disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. Jesus said, when ye pray, our Mother which art in heaven. No. Jesus didn't say, pray to my mother. Jesus didn't say, pray to my mother and then she will come and talk to me. No, when ye pray, you pray our Father which art in heaven. Nothing mentioned about Mary. There is nothing in the entire New Testament that gives even the slightest hint that Mary was anything more than a vessel through which God chose to form the body of Jesus Christ. There is no scripture anywhere that exalts Mary above anyone else. Jesus never treated her, and there were many other passages. He treated her as a mom. He respected her as a mother. He obeyed her as a child obeys his mother. But she was never given any exalted position other than the vessel. And you know, that's all you and I really are. We're just vessels. Most of us look like we were made out of wet mud and hardened before we were formed and shaped. And if God is pleased to use me or you in some mighty way, to God be the glory. Great things He has done.